Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news this Tuesday, the 17th of June, 2025. I hope you're all doing well. Let's get involved. And isn't it great and positive to not be leading on a story about Ekitike, Gyökeres or Osimhen or Mbeumo? We've actually got news to react to as Omar Berada comes out with yet another shocking statement. I mean, look, some people are quite positive about Berada. That's absolutely fine. I personally think he's the worst CEO in the Premier League and talks absolute nonsense. But that's the joy of opinion. We don't all have to agree. We'll talk about his latest statement. Also, coming out from The Athletic this morning, Onana stays at Manchester United. The fear that we'd had all along that people like Berada are terrible at their job and cannot sell people is coming home to roost in the middle of June already. In the middle of June, we're already being delivered PR pieces from the club to prepare us for the worst. It's June the 17th and we're getting briefs that we're keeping Onana. This club ain't fit for purpose. They cannot sell players. I can see people on social media going, well, what are they supposed to do if they can't sell him? So basically, we're still a football club where if a player wants to stay, they stay. We're still Player Power FC because Amorim and Wilcox do not want him. They've got brains. As David Ornstein, as Fabrizio Romano reported months ago, watch out for Onana over the summer. United want him gone, but they can't get rid of him. So we've got to put up with another season of a goalkeeper who basically plays volleyball, palming it back into danger. So, you know, that's where we are with that. We've also got a little bit on Jadon Sancho. Nonsense story. Absolute nonsense story. We'll talk about it, but yeah, the source ain't great and it's a load of nonsense. We have got a little bit about Ekitike to talk about and some other stuff as well. But I agree with you, Vicky. This is Ten Hag legacy. We're meant to have a new manager and we're still operating under a previous manager's signings trying to polish them. I mean, as many of you are talking about, some people are saying, what about Rasmus as well? He's staying. Rasmus, Mount, Onana, Bruno. These are all, look, Amorim will glow about them and say, oh yeah, they're great players. What's the chance? How many managers walk into a football club and inherit players that they can win a Premier League with? And yet at United, it's every manager's project. You must work with the other manager's failures and you must glow them up. And we wonder why we fail. PRFC, absolute nonsense. But look, I am irritated by that. And we can get into it if we want to. It's opinion and you're entitled to yours. And bloody hell, you will let me know in the chat. And that's the beauty of this. Let's start off with Omar Berada's comment, though, because in some ways, you could get excited. In other ways, you think this is the CEO of Manchester United. So he did an interview with Andy Mitten, and basically he was asked about Project 150, which where the aim is to win the title by 2028. Now, we were actually talking about this last night in the studio, weren't we? So, it's good to get an update on this. So this is our CEO, Omar Berada, on Project 150, which aims to win the title by 2028. Now, remember, this is the CEO that's presided over the worst period in our recent history. This is the CEO that sacked half the workforce. This is the CEO that can't sell players. This is the CEO that has the club in debt. This is the CEO that brought in a director of football and sacked them. This is the CEO that lost Manchester and, you know, put Man United into 15th place. This is the CEO that signed off £300 million of money for Ten Hag and then sacked him 2 months later. This is the CEO that is apparently in charge of taking Manchester United back to the top. And they're just facts. I'm not going to give opinion on that. This is our CEO. So this is what he's got to say about winning the title in 2028. We've just finished 15th, and it does seem impossible. But why not aim for it? I firmly believe we can achieve it. We have two or three summer transfer windows to build a team that is starting to be competitive to win the Premier League. You know what? I'm tired of this. I actually just want realism. I'm not actually against Omar Berada as CEO, and I'm not actually against Sir Jim Radcliffe as partial owner, because there is no alternative. They're not going to sack him. Sir Jim Radcliffe's not going to leave. So the situation is the situation. But what I really, really want is just some bloody realism. Honesty, realism, and that will build perspective, trust, and context. I am tired of CEOs talking out of their arse. You may as well replace Omar Berada with Richard Arnold, or Richard Arnold with Ed Woodward. They are all the same. In 3 years' time, why can't we win the league? In 3 years' time, why can't we be optimistic? In 3 years' time, the aim is to win the Premier League. We've heard this for 12 years. In 3 years' time. You know as well, you know what? Is David Jason got a job anymore? You know, remember Any Fools and Horses, Del Boy? You know, he's probably quite old now, but could he be the CEO? At least he's got a bit of banter. Because all I'm hearing is, this time next year, we'll be Rodney, you plonker. This time next year, we will be millionaires. And then insert the theme tune at the end. And because I think a lot of you will agree with me on this. And I know we don't always agree, but I think a lot of you will agree with me on this. After the Europa League final, I thought depression, despair. And I woke up and went, honesty, reality, weight lifted, rock bottom. Yeah, there's a blame game. Yeah, there's a post-mortem, but we are at rock bottom. There are no excuses. We don't deserve any excuses. We can't talk about injuries. We can't talk about debt. We can't talk about anything. We have hit rock bottom. And what I want to see is acceptance of that from the club, some strong leadership, you know, clearing out the decks, rebuild model, let's go. What I don't want to hear is we've got two or three transfer windows. Why can't we win the league in 3 years? Because we're shit, mate. We're absolutely shit. If I was sat opposite Berada and he said, why can't we win the league in the next 3 years? I'd say, honestly, Omar, in all due respect, we've heard this for 12 years. We're tired of this. We would rather hear that year is the worst in our history, in our recent history in relation to the Premier League. We're in huge debt. You've sacked half the workforce. The team's just finished 15th. You've just lost to Spurs. You can't sell players. You got rid of your director of football. You got rid of your manager. Your new manager's on thin ice. I would not be saying to the fans we can win the title in the next 3 years, because we've heard this from Woodward. We've heard it from Arnold. You've just actually presided over a festering, steaming shit of a season, and you're talking about winning a Premier League. This is not what we want. You're right at the bottom of the mountain and you're already putting the flag on the top. How are you going to start climbing the mountain? I don't know who you think you're talking to, but you're not talking like you understand this fan base. You're taking them for idiots. You're talking about the biggest prize when we're at the lowest point. What I would rather hear from Berada is Project 28 was about a plan to win the title in 28. Where we are at the moment, we've got to accept that the first year has gone really, really bad. And we are we're off where we thought we could be. We've got to reflect. We've got to look at ourselves. We've got to look at the realities. We've got to try and build a stadium. We've just sacked half our workforce. We've just spent a load of money on a manager that we sacked. There's a lot of things that have gone wrong. We've got to look inside. We've got to be honest and open. And there is no point putting projections out there about winning titles and lying to fans, because all that's going to lead to is more mistrust and more anger and frustration. We have to accept our mistakes. We have to hold our hands up and apologise for that. And we have to say we've got to be better. And there's no point talking about Premier League titles in 3 years' time. We've got to talk about, in the next 12 months, can we get back into Europe? Can we build a team to get back up into Europe in the next 12 months? Because that's key. Everybody knows the value of the Champions League, the money you can make, and how that helps you go to the next step. We can't win the Premier League without putting ourselves in the Champions League. So the next 12 months is, can we do that? And that's all we're focused on. And that's leadership, and that's honesty, and that's reality, and that's all I want. I don't want projections of grandeur. I don't want bullshit PR. I actually just want, how are we going to get on the pathway to being back? And on the one hand, you're talking about, why can't we win the league in the next 2 to 3 years? Why can't we do it? Because we've all witnessed the last 12 months and the last 12 years. How can you say we're aiming to win the league in the next 2 to 3 years, and the very next minute I'm reading from The Athletic, which is clearly a club brief, that Onana's staying? So you're talking about winning the league in the next 2 to 3 years, but you're happy to go into next season with a goalkeeper that's going to probably cost you being in Europe. There's no... All it is bravado and nonsense. I'm so tired of it. Ed Woodward, Richard Arnold, and now Berada. Just words. Words of positive PR, but no action. A little less conversation, a little more action, please. With all, I don't mind Onana. He's a nice guy. He's well-liked within the club. He puts a smile on everybody's face. He's a nice guy. I wish he was a good goalkeeper, but he's not. You can't talk about building a team to win the bloody Premier League when you're going to go another year with him in goal. Because it just says, we're shit at our job. We can't sell him. He won't go. He's in control. We're not in control. Let's pray and hope for the best. That's not how you win. That's not how you work. That's not how you work. You can't talk about winning a Premier League in 3 years, but next season Onana's between the sticks. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work, in my opinion, but I'll take yours. Lee Berman says, these Berada comments worry me. It seems like he's deflecting and we're not going to get much done in the next window. Look, I'll tell you something very, very, very quickly. I got sent this. I want to read this out, but while I find it, and I want to talk about the transfer stuff as well, but I think, you know, we've had so many days of so much bullshit around Mbeumo and Gyökeres and Osimhen, and it's actually nice. I actually feel motivated this morning to be talking about something that actually is new, relevant, and impacts us all, and is an actual definitive statement of truth. So I'm happy to be doing that. But also, my observation on leadership is that if you talk about doing something in 3 years' time, look, if I go home tonight, walk into the kitchen, Mrs. Goldbridge is cooking the dinner, and I do a big, massive crap on the kitchen work surface, she's going to be shocked. She's not going to be very happy. And if I say, guess what? Don't worry about that. I'm taking you to New York, and you can spend £1 million, and we're going to live there. It's a distraction tactic. Don't worry about that big poo I've just done on the kitchen worktop. We're going to New York. We're going to live there, and you've got £1 million in your bank account. You know, she probably is still thinking about it. It's fresh and smelly. But the reality is, I've just changed your life. And this is a classic marketing ploy. Everything is really crap right now. It's horrible. How do we distract them? In 3 years' time, we're going to win the Premier League. We're going to be the best team in the world. Don't worry about that now. Don't worry about that. And it's just classic distraction. But you know what? If it was the first time I'd heard it, I'd probably fall for it. But I've heard it so many times in 3 years' time, this time next year. Just call him Del Boy. Basically, the CEO of Manchester United must have watched every episode of Only Fools and Horses. Study Del Boy and learn his ways of distracting you from how shit things are. But next year, it's going to be better. But look, I've got to shout out Andrew. He sent me a message about this and basically said that his cousin's a strategic analyst, etc., in business. And basically, I thought it was quite interesting. I'll just quickly summarize it. He basically said that, look, his cousin works in, like, going into businesses that are struggling and, you know, trying to help them to change that mentality, change their business, etc. And basically, what the number one tactic of a business when they've got people in their workforce that they don't want, that won't go, basically what you do with those is that if you want to replace them, you bring the people in that you want. So in Onana's case, you'd bring in the goalkeeper that you want, and Onana doesn't want to go. And then you simply just put Onana in the reserves, or, you know, you get him to train on his own. Then what happens with Onana is pride kicks in, and he realizes that, you know, his place is gone because there's a new goalkeeper. He realizes that, you know, he's not part of the plans. And yeah, he's earning good money, but within a couple of weeks, that pride will kick in, the realization will kick in, and he's and they'll be seeking further employment. And it's a tactic that Manchester United have only followed once. And it was Jose Mourinho with Schweinsteiger. And I didn't agree with that. I thought it was horrible the way Schweinsteiger was treated, because I think Schweinsteiger was always a model professional, but he stuck him in the reserves because he didn't want him. And what happened? He was gone. I think he went and played in the MLS. So Manchester United never do this. But I mean, look, shout out to Andrew. Many of you probably are aware of this. Maybe you've witnessed it. Maybe you've done it yourself. If you want to replace somebody in your workforce or football team, you bring in their replacement first, because that takes away their position of power. You bring in their replacement and then you move them out. Train on your own. You're not part of my plans. And after a couple of weeks, the pride will kick in, the realization will kick in, and they'll be looking for somewhere else to go. But we never do it. We never do it. What we do is, do you want to go? No. Please go? No. We won't pick you. You haven't got a replacement. Please go? No. You're in the team. Let's get on with it. And that, again, it's just crap leadership. I fundamentally know why it is. It's because we're crap. Rob Always United says, great show with Tony. Yeah, check it out on the Webby and O'Neill channel. Really enjoyed it. Jay Lloyd, Law Lloyd, welcome, as gifted a membership. They can sack half the workforce in one go, but they can't manage to sell players or sign even two at the same time. Zero confidence in anything they say. Well, this article in The Athletic is very interesting. I'm going to get into it now. Lee Berman says, Berada's just deflecting. Stephen Rawlings, welcome to the members club. Patrick Lynch is in the chat. Look, it's great to see how many people are conversing with us this morning. We've already got 15,000 watching. I know exactly why this is. It's because we're not talking about Mbeumo. We're not talking about Gyökeres. We're not talking about Mateta. We're not talking about Osimhen. We are actually talking about relevant things around this football club, and it's very refreshing to have something new to discuss this morning. So I hope you're all enjoying it like I am. Different opinions, of course. It's annoying decisions needed to be made to help the team move forward are ones that the ownership are unwilling to make. We know who will get blamed. Amrim under pressure, and fans will be blamed for lowering the standards. You know what, Patrick? You're absolutely spot on. We're going to talk about this Onana story now. I'm going to come back to that from Patrick. How many players do you think we have failed to buy because the players don't want to join the shit show that our club is? Slazy, I think the more relevant question, how many players have we missed out on because the club won't get rid of the player the manager wants to get? So if we're not getting rid of Onana, who Amrim wants to go, we keep Onana and we miss out on Costa. We miss out on Martinez. We miss on Chevalier. You know, we miss on Milinkovic-Savic. I'm tired of it. Ashworth gave us realism. They fired him, says Keel. And Tok says, Doc Tok's a new member. Welcome. So, look, let me talk about this story in The Athletic, because it's clearly very well sourced. What they're saying is that in relation to Onana, and there is something about, I'll read this one and come back to it. This is from The Athletic. Beyond the signing of Cunha and the pursuit of Mbeumo, it is expected that United will have to sell to buy. And if they don't generate those funds, they're going to struggle to make further additions.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Feels like a real reality PR leak from Manchester United this morning. Feels like There's been a lot of anger and frustration over the weekend, and we spoke about this last night, and it feels like United have decided that, look, the fan base is getting unrealistic. They're getting frustrated. We need to smack them in the face with some realism. Beyond Cunha and Mbeumo, there's no money, and we're not selling Onana. It's a harsh reality, but it's from a good source, and it's from The Athletic. So this is also what they've said. Onana's representatives had a meeting with Old Trafford figures last week, and the goalkeeper is expected to stay this summer. Although United still could enter the market in his position to sign a backup who could provide him with some competition. I cannot believe this Pratt is going to be in goal next season. I have seen so many clips of the final Europa League final goal where I lost it. And he didn't actually make a super mistake there. He could have done better. He's so bloody slow on reactions, but it wasn't his worst mistake. But it's the one that stuck in my head. He should have saved that. It's just slow reactions again. He's too muscly on the top. He can't move his body quick enough. When he does, he palms it back in like a bloody volleyball player. He can't come for crosses. He's Dracula FC. There's no confidence in him at all. He is a bang average goalkeeper. He's not shit. He's not shit. But he certainly isn't anywhere near the top 10 Premier League goalkeepers. And for a Man United goalkeeper, that's shocking. So if he's in goal next season, which it's looking like it is, it's an absolute message of we're in trouble next season. And going back to what Patrick said about who will get the blame, the great thing about the summer transfer window is people will blame the real people who are at fault. Sir Jim Radcliffe, the Glazers, Berarda, Wilcox, you know, the people who are recruiting and not, you know, recruiting properly. They get the blame. But as soon as the season kicks off, and in the last minute at West Ham, you lose because Onana fucks up, it's Amrim out. It's not Onana out. He's staying for another year. It's not Berarda or Sir Jim. You know, they're safe. It's Amrim out. It's the manager who pays the price for this. And Patrick is right. We'll all moan about the Glazers. We'll all moan about Sir Jim. We'll all moan about we can't sell players. But when we go back into the season and these mistakes happen that many people expect to happen, it will be Amrim who pays the price for this. And I just feel so sorry for the manager, because it's well known. I'm not going to claim a source on this. I know we spoke about it in the international break, but in fairness, Ornstein's spoken about it. Laurie Whitwell's spoken about it. Romano's spoken about it. I think even the Manchester Evening News spoke about it in April as well. There's a desire to remove Onana from the club this summer, but there's also a realism that it's going to be difficult to do it. And what that basically comes down to from all those good sources is that Amrim doesn't want Onana, because Amrim's got eyes and Amrim didn't buy him. And Wilcox doesn't want Onana because he's played the game and he's got eyes. They know he's a bloody liability. And they know when you look at all the big teams, Real Madrid, PSG, Liverpool, even Arsenal, their goalkeepers are authoritative and impactive. So every top team in the world has a goalkeeper that you can rely on. Wilcox knows that. Amrim knows that. They're going into next season with a guy you can't trust. That's already a step back when you need to take many steps forward. And I struggle to understand why. Well, I do understand why, but I struggle to understand why they project positivity and progression when they're always holding us back. But I've seen this so many times. You could write a list of players that need to be sold over the last 10 years that have stayed way beyond. I mean, Lindelof was here for 8 years. I like Lindelof as a person. I like Onana as a person. I mean, I don't know them, but what I mean is I don't look at them and go knobhead. I just go not good enough for Manchester United. Lindelof was still starting games for Man United this season. Eight years. Because we couldn't get rid of him. Donny van der Beek couldn't get rid of him for years. There's just so many players. And now we've got a first choice goalkeeper that we can't get rid of. So we've got to pick. He ain't good enough. I'll argue it with anybody. He is not good enough. The best highlight reels of Onana are the reactions to his mistakes. David De Gea got views off world-class saves. Onana gets views off absolute Pratt mistakes. That's our goalkeeper. He ain't good enough. But He can sit there and say, I'm not going. And then United, basically, just to explain why he's still here, at Manchester United, when you want to sell a player, you say to them, do you want to go? And if they say no, you stay. That's basically what happens. We want to sell you. Will you go? No. How many years has he got left on his contract? 3. So back in training for Carrington in early July. Is your passport okay for the US tour? You're staying. Manchester City, Chelsea, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Arsenal, you're for sale. Get out. Man United, we want to sell you. I'm not going anywhere. Okay, thanks. This is why we don't progress. I know, I understand that many people will say it's hard to run a football club. I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. I think it's actually very basic. You follow certain patterns that many businesses follow. We are just shit at it. We're so bad at removing players. And it's like, if you keep walking into your kitchen and it smells, and I've not been on the work surface. I'm saying, let's do a different room. If you walk into your garage, maybe not everyone's got a garage. If you walk into a living room and it smells, and you do a bit of investigation and you find out it smells because at some point somebody spilt something on the carpet, what do you do? Do you buy a new rug and cover it up? The smell will come through still. Do you start buying loads of air fresheners? The smell's still going to be there. Or do you remove the carpet, clean underneath, and buy a new carpet? If you want to get rid of the smell, you've got to remove the smell. You've got to replace it. But at Man United, what we do is cover it up, spray a bit of air freshener, put a chair over the top of it. We never remove the issue. So no matter who the manager is or what, you know, no matter what, you know, Amrin walks in, here's your living room. There's a bit of a smell in here. Oh yeah, look at the new chair we've bought you. And we've got you a new TV. Yeah, but I can still smell it. It's putting me off. But look at your TV. Look at the chair we've bought you. We're gonna wallpaper the walls. Yeah, but I can still smell this smell. It's really causing an issue. It's everyone's noticing it. It's ruining everybody's morale. Can we get rid of the smell? No. Why? It's too expensive. But you just bought me a bloody telly. I know, but we don't mind spending stuff on that. And this is the problem. We just don't remove the issues. So as soon as you go back to training, you might have Cunha, you might have Mbeumo, but you've still got problems in the team. And it's so demoralizing. It's so demoralizing because we're actually talking about, we're not arguing about whether we should buy Mateta or Ekotike or whether we should go back in for Gyökeres. We're talking about the same things we've been talking about for 10 years. The failure to remove problems and a CEO talking about winning a title in 3 years. And you know what? Those two things contradict each other massively. Why can't we win the title in 3 years? We're keeping Onana. You've answered your own question. Me as a fan, I don't need to even project an opinion because you've answered your own question. Why can't we win the league in 3 years? We're keeping Onana. And Onana is just a representative of every other player that we don't sell. You could say Rasmus, you could say you could say Mount, you could say Shaw, you could say from over the years, Lindelof. You know, it's the same problems year after year, and it's the same CEO projecting bullshit. We're never going to rebuild this football club until we remove the deadwood, the open heart surgery that Ranić said. All you're doing is spraying shit by buying new players. You've got to clear it out and then bring the new players in. And we've just never been able to clear players out. And look, I'm moving on from Onana because there's a lot to talk about. But if Onana's staying, who else is staying? Is Rashford coming back now? Are we going to get a picture in July of Amrin and Rashford with their arms around each other, smiling with a fist pump? We're best friends again. Why? Because we can't sell him. We make every decision is made on business. Every decision is made on money. Even looking on social media this morning about Onana, you've got United fans saying, well, what can they do? They can't let him go for free. If we can't get rid of him, we've got to use him. And I'm like, even our fans speak like fucking accountants now. Well, you know, why shouldn't he stay? We can't sell him, so we can't replace him. And I'm like, we're a fucking football club. You cannot say, well, what are we supposed to do? Let's just keep him because we can't sell him. You find a way to remove him. I would rather spend 15 million on Milinkovic-Savic, put him in goal and stick an Arna in the reserves. I would rather do that. Force him out. Force these players out. But they've got too much power. Players make their mind up on what they're doing. I don't know. I don't know the situation with Rasmus, but I know that he wants to stay. What if Amrim doesn't want him to stay? What if Amrim says, I don't want Rasmus to stay, I want him to go. And then the club say, but he wants to stay. This is the problem. We go back to Anthony Martial, Luke Shaw, and Jose Mourinho nearly a decade ago. I want them to go. We're not selling them. You can't do anything about it. Our club doesn't get the important stuff right, says Jacob. I'm sorry, what happened to the mob of Manchester United? We need the Sopranos, says Jay Law. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, says Jeff. Thank you very much, Jeff. I hope you're doing well. Emily Derry says, this is the other part of the price of keeping Bruno. The funds could have... Well, Emily, you've just dropped the mic there, haven't you? I'd never even thought about that. She says, the funds could have gone towards a striker and a goalkeeper like Martinez to force Onana out. At the end of the day, our board is ineffectual. Emily, I've got to bow down and say, I'd not even thought about that. You're absolutely correct. If you've got the £100 million for Bruno, you can buy the goalkeeper and say to Onana, now what are you going to fucking do? You're absolutely correct. If you've got that £100 million... You buy the goalkeeper. It's basically what Andrew said, and from what his cousin does when he goes into businesses and helps them solve problems, and they've got to get people out. The strategy of getting somebody out is to bring their replacement in and then tell the person that you're not going to use them. If we went and bought Martinez and said that's the goalkeeper, Onana is fucked. He's got to go. But if you say to him, please go, and he knows you can't get anyone unless he goes, player power. Player power still exists at this football club, doesn't it? Very, very, very true. Well done, Emily. Just wanted to say how hilarious Chelsea fans are. 30 minutes of Delap and they found the next Harry Kane, says Nick P. Oh, fair play for watching that last night. I was driving back from Manchester, had it on the radio and had to stop and get a coffee. You know when it says, when you're tired, take a break? I wasn't even tired. But 10 minutes into that, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fall asleep at the wheel. Stopped, had a Costa. Just didn't go back onto the football Club World Cup. Don't drive and listen to the Club World Cup. It's dangerous. Anything they do is done at the end of the day, says Amindo. Keep Rasmus, there's a good player there, and he'll get more chances with Cunha and Mbeumo, says Pablo. A key indicator of how serious we are for me will be if players are left out of the tour. We praised Chelsea doing it last year when United didn't, says James. We won't do that, James. We needed Qatar so badly, I probably won't see a league title ever. It will be around. We're back on top. Thanks for the great content, says Raffo. Hope you're doing well, Raffo. City getting Cherky for 29 million without any competition just shows how far we are behind, says Marlo. Clubs with class rarely do that. Amrim likes Onana, says Robert McCormack. Robert, that's irrelevant. I like you. I'm not going to give you a job. Amrim does like Onana. You don't get rid of people because you don't like them normally. You get rid of them because you don't rate them. He doesn't rate Onana.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
People can start going, well, we've never heard that he doesn't. The managers do press conferences saying, I don't rate this goalkeeper. Every decent source for that last 6 months has talked about Anana being replaced. And mainly it's because he's shit. We don't need to know whether Amrim rates Anana. You've got eyes. He's shit. He's a shit goalkeeper. Didn't Arsenal do this with Raya and Ramsdale, says Oscar. And yeah, just going back to Robert said there that clubs with class rarely put players... They do. Clubs who are successful and want to be competitive force players out, mate. Chelsea have done it. Look at their success over the last 2 years. Barcelona have done it. Real Madrid have done it. We don't do it because we're weak. Don't make excuses for a shit ownership that can't move players on because the players are more powerful than them. Player power stops players leaving. Strong club power forces players out. Who should have the power? The club. Didn't Arsenal do that? Well, Man City do it all the time as well. Look at Cancelo. Look at Grealish. That's just two off the top of my head. Winners go home with the prom queen. Didn't Arsenal do this with Raya and Ramsdale? Obviously, the prom queen is willing. It's just it's an old saying. That top tick, they've not been kidnapped. Thank you very much for that. How are you talking shit about Lindelof every video, says David. He's your fourth choice centre-back that's been your most reliable for 5 years. And you accuse me of talking shit. Is there no keeper we can get on loan that is second choice at their club that wants game time, says Steve? We talk about the importance of signing a striker, and we're now talking about loan got second choice keepers on loan. I mean, it's an important position. Flames Kid says Chelsea success, laughing emoji. Are we really going to go there? I hope you're not a United fan, mate, because if you're laughing at Chelsea as a Man United fan, you must have just dropped out your mum's chuff, because you've got a bit of enlightening to do. At what point are Chelsea not more successful than us over the last decade? Champions League twice. Title once or twice. Qualified for the Champions League again. If we're laughing at Chelsea, mate, you need to get yourself down the GP, I'm think. I don't know what world you think you're working in. Yeah. I don't say what grounds have we got to laugh at Chelsea? I'd love to know that. I mean, Liam Delap's just chose them over us as well. He was our first choice striker target. We'd take there. I mean, I don't know who we'd laugh at the moment. Luton? Ha! Relegated twice in a row. I don't know. I don't know what club we can laugh at the moment. I'd like to get back to those days, but I don't have time to figure out what rivals we can laugh at as Manchester United. We've got too many problems of us at our own. Fergie forced Keane, our captain, out. He sold Rude and Beckham. Yeah, exactly, Patrick. I think Roberts had a stinker there, unfortunately. Classy clubs don't force players out. Sir Alex, Roy Keane, Sir Alex, Yap Stam, Sir Alex, David Beckham, Sir Alex, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Sir Alex, Paul Ince, Sir Alex, Mark Hughes, Sir Alex, Kanchelskis. The list goes on and on and on and on. We're probably the origin Premier League club of getting rid of players effectively by forcing them out. The problem is, United is weak. They sack half their workforce of ordinary working people because it's easy to do. It's easy to go up to Steve and say, I know you've been with us for 10 years and I know you do a good job, but your job doesn't exist anymore. And I know you've probably got a mortgage to pay, but that's not my problem. You're fired. But then you go up to a player who's in the first team who's shit and say, will you go? No. Okay, I'll keep paying you a couple of hundred grand a week. Don't worry about that. That's Man United's ruthlessness in 4K. They'll get rid of Steve because he's easy to get rid of, but they won't get rid of a footballer who's a fucking waste of time on a big wage and a big contract. Player power still runs this football club until proven otherwise. Every single summer for the last 10 years, we've spoken about, yes, the signings will be interesting, but in many ways, they paper the cracks. Signing Cunha and Mbeumo means nothing if you don't get rid of players, because you still got the shit. Owners admire Chelsea, still can't get rid of players, says Kopka. Thank you very much to Patrick Lynch. Is there no keeper? We've done that from Steve and Jacob. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on because we have got some other stuff to talk about. Interesting one here. Just very quickly talking about the striker situation. And I've got to say, in relation to the striker situation, if we're believing what the Athletic say about Onana, United can't get rid of Onana, so he's going to stay. And I'll tell you what, they've got a picture of him. Oh, God. You know, when I see Onana in a Man United kit, I just think we've conceded, haven't we? It's that look on his face of... it's almost lack of awareness. He never, even when he makes the biggest mistake, he still doesn't look like it's his fault. It's just a world away from what we had with De Gea. That's on Ten Hag. That's not on Amorim. So, Paul Hurst in the Times said that last night that Frankfurt would ask for Ekitike a similar fee as what they asked for Mamouche, which was £63 million, €70 million. Fabrizio has said that we've spoke to the agent of Ekitike in the last few days to be informed if the player has committed his future to any other club, and discussing the price. But he's still very expensive for Manchester United. So Romano is basically saying we haven't held talks with Frankfurt. He's very expensive and we've just been, you know, on a bit of a discovery to see what we could do. But Paul Hurst is saying £63 million. The Athletic are saying that Man United have inquired about the availability of Ekitike. He is already of interest to Chelsea, but United have made contact with Frankfurt in recent weeks to try and understand the player's level of availability and what a potential transfer might cost. So, look, as I said to you last night, when it comes to Ekitike, I'm very much tired of it already, because there's just so much contradiction. You had Pletty Goal in Sky saying that we've been in talks with Eintracht Frankfurt, and you got Romano saying no, we haven't. You've got £63 million being the price from the Times. You've got other people saying they're going to lower the price, and yet the reality is the actual CEO of Frankfurt last week said this: if the price isn't right, he'll stay with us. We don't have to sell Ekitike. And the price that's been quoted is €100 million, £85 million. And yet the Times are saying £63 million. So that's a £22 million reduction on a player where Chelsea have allegedly said they'll had a rejection of £68 million, which is €80 million. So Man United get interested in Ekitike and the price is coming down from what Chelsea are rumoured to offer. And also their owner has said, we don't need to sell. It just doesn't stack up. It doesn't stack up at all. His price is coming down and yet more clubs are interested in him and they don't need to sell. So I don't want Ekitike. I think it's just way too much money for a learner driver who isn't a prolific goal scorer. He's not that type of striker. I don't want him. I wish we weren't linked to him. I really do. If we get him, I'll back him. But I don't like this deal. It just feels like a load of... it feels like we're being spun. It feels like complete and utter distraction. And I don't understand why. And the biggest update for me, actually, is this one. Beyond the signing of Cunha and Mbeumo, Man United haven't got any money and they would need to sell players to generate funds for further additions. And that probably explains a lot. So, yeah. Hope Sancho's having a shit morning, says Barry. And Luton can sell players United can't. I'm not sure we can laugh at anyone right now, says Emily. The way United approach sales hands the initiative to players. It's obvious they don't back themselves to sell. Look, Emily, again, you've just generated a really interesting point here. Somebody just said, I like Ekitike, let's go and do it. We've just spent the last few minutes talking about why we don't progress as a football club. We've got our CEO talking about winning the league in 2028. And then we've got a story coming out saying that we can't get rid of a goalkeeper that's not good enough. Total contradiction. You can't build to win a league when you can't remove the problems. But more than that, if you're trying to buy players, like Emery says, Luton can sell players, United can't, and I'm sure we can't laugh at anyone. The way United approach sales hands the initiative to the players. It's obviously obvious that they don't back themselves to sell. Well, exactly. How can you, if you can't get on the front foot, you're always going to be on the back foot. And if you're giving player power, you're never going to remove that. And when you look at like Rasmus, Onana, Mason Mount, you look at that summer, I'm not saying I don't like Mount, I don't like Rasmus, I don't like Onana. I would definitely get rid of Onana because I just don't rate him. But, you know, I understand why people would get rid of Rasmus, why people would get rid of Mount. But you look at those three deals, all happened 2 years ago. One was 55 million. One was 60 million and one was 50 million. So there was £150 million worth of purchases there. They've all flopped for different reasons. We're 2 years down the line. They've all still got 3 years left on their contract and they're all unsellable in many ways. You're not making a profit on any of them. So we're stuck in this position where if you knock on the door of Mason Mount, I'm not going anywhere. You knock on the door of Rasmus, I'm not going anywhere. You knock on the door of Onana, I'm not going anywhere. I've got 3 years left on a really good wage. I don't want to go. Not going. And United are like, well, we can't do anything about it. So we can't move forward because we're always using mistakes from the past. You buy Ekitike, doesn't work out. Amrin gets the sack. New manager comes in. I don't want Ekitike. He's only 2 years in on a 3-year contract. And we paid 80 million for him. You got to keep him. And the problem continues. I remember reading one of your comments a few months ago and they were like, we've only got 18 more months of this and then all the shit will have run down. But it won't run down. Not if you keep making mistakes. If we keep giving ridiculous money and ridiculous contracts to players, what we do is we buy a player and it absolutely has to succeed. And if it doesn't, we're in trouble. Every player we buy, bar one or two, we pay so much money for them. If they flop, we can't do anything about it. Look at De Ligt. If De Ligt flopped, we'd be stuck. Because again, he's around 40 million quid. You're never going to get that for 25-year-old. If he flops, he's not worth 40 million quid. Look at Xerxes. We only paid 30 million quid for him. But if he flops, who's going to give us 30 million? We always pay top price. And the reality is, in any transfer window in history, you're lucky, you probably have about a 60% chance of success with any transfer. It's certainly not 80, 90%. But you look at United signings, Jadon Sancho, Paul Pogba, Alexis Sanchez, Van der Beek. Every deal we do, we pay really high wages and normally a high transfer fee. So it's the most logical thing in the world that we're going to fail. Because when 90% of your signings are on good wages and a high fee, but only 60% of them are likely to succeed, you're going to have 30% of deadwood that you can't get rid of. And that's just basic maths. And United have never figured this out. We pay high wages and we pay high transfer fees. And basically, if the player flops, we're stuck with them for years. And we do it on 90% of our signings. But only 60 will succeed. So you're setting yourself up for failure. And actually, do 60% of United's transfer. I think it might be optimistic to say that 60% of our signings actually do succeed. So as a business model, it doesn't work. Now, people would say, well, what you're saying is then we need to just buy cheap players and then they won't be good enough. No, you need to buy plan A players. There's nothing wrong with spending £70 million and £300,000 a week on Victor Osimhen.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Because he will always have buyers because of his reputation, even if he flops. And the chances of him flopping are minimal. But if you spend the same amount on Ekitike, who's a learner driver, and you don't know whether he's going to succeed, if he, you know, the chances of him flopping are bigger, and if he does, no one's going to want him. And that's how you change it. You buy players where the chance of them succeeding is massive. And if they don't succeed, they're probably still going to hold a value. There was a story about Jadon Sancho. I know a lot of people have led on it this morning. And again, it just shows their lack of observation about the transfer window or their lack of care in actually chasing stories that actually people are going to be interested in. Because I saw the Jadon Sancho story last night and I thought, what a load of crap. I will give it you, though, because ultimately it's not just about my opinion. It is about your opinion as well. So effectively, I'm not even sure where it was. Oh, I know where it was. It was on the United Stand because I replied to it and said bullshit. Let me find it for you. Here we go. Napoli are making an attempt to sign Jadon Sancho as per Damasio. Right, two things. When was the last time Damasio was actually accurate about a Man United transfer? Because the last time I remember was Pogba, Mkhitaryan and Zlatan. And that was because he was close to Raiola. So he hasn't actually had a good record around Manchester United for a long time. He's also a journalist that is well known for having good relationships with Italian clubs and sometimes helps those clubs generate interest in players. And thirdly, Napoli absolutely are not stupid and will not give Jadon Sancho £250,000 a week, which is why he didn't sign for Chelsea. So the components of this are pure bullshit, which is why I've left it very late in the show. Napoli will not be signing Jadon Sancho. End of story. Breaking news, here we go. No, joking. I mean, look, they might take him on a loan, but they're not going to sign him. And I think anybody that's expecting Jadon Sancho to go anywhere other than a loan deal doesn't understand what Jadon Sancho's play is. He had a good offer at Chelsea, but didn't want to take a wage cut and didn't want to lock himself into a contract. He wants his full wage at Man United for 12 months. And then in 12 months, he wants freedom so that he can have freedom to run around shouting freedom, getting another big wage and another big signing on fee for himself. And it's probably motivated from he doesn't want Man United to get the steam off his own piss. He's probably a very, very angry and bitter individual who actually is doing this partly for money and partly because he doesn't want Manchester United to get anything. And I'm pretty confident that that will come to pass. Maybe he's right about that, but he obviously is going to do that. Hi, Mark. Off topic, but for mental health, Men's Mental Health Month, can we do a mental health and live chat on the Mark Goldbridge channel, says Luke. I mean, we'll just do it. We can do that anytime, mate. You don't need to do a special mental health stream. I mean, it's something that we speak about quite a lot. I think it's very important. That's the whole point about community. as I've always said many times before, I mean, it does work better on my channel when I'm playing a bit of FIFA and stuff, so we can do that. But I think we've always been very open about this over the years, and it's not just men's mental health, it's everybody's mental health. Obviously, football is still massively dominated factually, demographically by men, but there's a lot of females who watch this show, and I'm sure they have their own struggles as well. I think as somebody that's been through that myself and still does sometimes have it, I think the best thing to do is talk. I've always found that, like, if I'm not feeling great, you're better off telling somebody you don't feel great, because what it can lead to is arguments and breakdown of relationships and isolation because you don't tell people. And I think that's really, really important. It won't cure it, but it will help the people around you help you. And if you haven't got people around you, then there are people you can call. There are helplines and stuff like that who've got amazing people who are very dedicated, giving up their time to speak to you as well. So there's always someone to talk to. And I think that's really important. It doesn't solve it. It can for some, but it certainly helps it. I think it's really important to talk and be open about it, because certainly when I look back to being a teenager, which was only 25 years ago, and 30, teenage is a long period of time. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to say to your mates down the pub or, in the dressing room or anything like that, I'm feeling bad today. You know, you'd be laughed at. That was the world. So there's a lot to be said for talking about it. And I think naturally everybody feels down at some point. You know, I had a long day yesterday in Manchester. You saw I was in the studio. I was up very early. I didn't get back till late. I couldn't get to sleep. And then I knew I had to get up early today. And tiredness can have an impact as well. But you know what? Today, I was like, I'm going to be live at 10 o'clock. I'm doing this show with Terry at 11 o'clock. I got up early as well because I wanted to do a few things from yesterday that we've been talking about. And, you know, there's nothing wrong in life with prioritizing things that make you feel happy when you're not feeling good. As long as it's legal. But, you know, if you think, you know what, I'm not going to work, I'm going to take the afternoon off, I'm going to go to the cinema and watch something, or I'm going to go out for a meal, or I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to get the phone on and look at that category. As long as it's legal, it's fine. And I think sometimes, I know I'm bad at it, we're very bad at just doing something for ourselves. And 10 minutes of a walk in a nice sunny day empowers you. My daughter's been studying for her A-levels and she's constantly studying. And I'm like, oh, this is foreign to me because I didn't study and I didn't do A-levels. And I said to her, you need to go for a 10-minute walk. She's like, I've got too much to study for, biology, this, that, and the other. I said, take the dog for a walk, because I didn't want to do it. She went for a walk. She came back and she said, you know what? That 10 minutes has completely refreshed my brain and ready to go. And it's true. And that's just finding little moments. I also agree with Johnny that proper sleep, eating, even a break can help. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I do it every, you'll notice every couple of months or so, I won't be on for like 24 hours. That's my community service, but, I have to do that. Otherwise I'll get attacked. I'm joking, but no, that's just taking a bit of a break. Yeah. So thank you for that message, Luke. It's very important. We have an amazing community, not only here, but that's football and my channel as well. But beyond the football, we are humans as well. And I think it's nice that, you know, all around the world, people get involved, new and past. And, you know, there is a reality beyond it. We do get very passionate, arrogant, stubborn, etc. But there we go. Vincent says, Goldbridge doesn't rate Robert McCormack. You always take it out on the people you love. Robert's a legend. We never ever will completely agree. Another problem is that we are the only club not having a professional analytics team. We should moneyball this. I think things like that, Slazy, are very important. But also, I think that if you can't get rid of players, you're never going to work forward. And thanks everyone who's watching. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. Dino says we're the Renford rejects, a better club run than us. How long can Amrim survive in these conditions, says Keel. I remember getting rid of failures quick. Cleverson, Bellion, Veron, Bappe. Sir Alex got rid of them, WG. It's funny that people think that this is normal. Can't we prioritise Bienda over Inanna? Rainfall says, I hope this show regarding Anana point ages really badly. I think Anana gets a bad press. Players performing worse get a bad press. Rainfall, I don't give a shit about what you're saying there in a positive way. I hope you're right. Because if you're going to come back at me next season and say, ha ha, take the L on Anana, I'll say, I didn't take the L on Matic. I didn't take the L on Maguire. They were shit for 2 years. And then they got better. And then they got the praise. I was never wrong about Maguire. He was shit for 2 years. And he's brilliant now. I will never be wrong about Anana. He is shit. He cost us the Champions League in the first year. And he cost us God knows what in his second year. He's a shit goalkeeper of the level that Man United need. He should be playing for, I don't even know, Brentford. Would they want him? But if he turns it around and becomes a world-class goalkeeper, yeah. And what I've always said about Anana is, it wasn't a dream at Inter. He can play out from the back. I'd love him to turn it around, mate. But it's not going to age badly because I've got 2 years of evidence, like everyone else, of where he's been absolutely terrible. Even people like Van der Sar, Ben Foster, etc., ex-goalkeepers at Man United have said, he ain't that good. It's just the eye test, mate. He's not good. You might have pictures of him on your wall. You might be Anana FC. But the reality is, it's nothing. He's a nice guy. He smiles. You know, I'd love him to be great. I never wanted him because I wanted De Gea, but it wasn't his fault. He ain't good enough, mate. If he starts playing well next year, I'll be at the front saying, 10 out of 10, well done, well done. And you can come on here and say, take the L. And I'll say, grow up. Simple as that. Thanks everyone for watching. Everyone deep down rates Robert McCormack, says Robert McCormack. There was something I was going to say. Yeah, just going to end on this. Fantastic show. Really enjoyed it this morning. I think we needed some new news, and it might not be the news we want, but you've got Omar Berada, like Ed Woodward, like Richard Arnold, talking about 3 years we're going to win the league. We've heard it all before. He's talking about that. And then you've got a brief from the club saying, we've got no money left after Mbeumo and we're keeping Anana. And then you've got a guy who's in charge saying we're going to win the league in 3 years. Or the plan is to win. It just doesn't add up because it's the same old shit. Every year for the last 12 years, we're going to win the league in the next 3 years, but we can't get rid of the shit players. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. We're back at 2. I think Ricky's on at 2. I've got a funny feeling Ricky might be in the studio with Beth at 2. I will be there for that. 8 o'clock show tonight, back in its normal slot, and anything that goes on between. When's FIFA back? I will let you know. I have brought TUSFC back on my channel. A lot of people have been... I'm stunned. It's had 70,000 views. If you want to catch up and watch it, it's on my channel. There will be another episode live. I've just got to figure out when I'm doing it. We need to have a chat about that. Speak to you in a bit. Take care.